The views expressed on this Turnbuckle Tabloid live stream or Turnbuckle Tabloid podcast episode do not reflect the views, thoughts, or opinions of the RageWorks brand, including the RageWorks podcast network, RageWorks content partners, advertisers, and affiliates. Viewer and listener discretion is advised.
Hi, this is the Reverend Bob Levy, and you're listening to Turnbuckle Tabloid. Yeah.
Turnbuckle Tabloid.
3, 2, 1.
This is the COO of WWE, Triple H. And when I'm in the gorilla position, I usually get an itchy ass in my DX section. And I need a form of relief. Other products out there wasn't helping to deal with my situation. So what I did was come across a company that would help to relieve my itchy and flaring issue. Preparation Triple H. The product that's necessary to cure all the game needs. Your functions will flow fluently without irritation. Do you have itchy, irritable, or discomfort in your DX area? Preparation H is not the job you need. To kill the game, you will need Preparation Triple H. Take a listen to one happy consumer who has dissolved his pain.
I am so happy that WWE released a medical treatment for individuals who have problems sitting during long periods of time. Preparation Triple H has helped me to soothe all the aches and pains that I've been coming from my lower bum region, if you understand what I'm saying. At times I go to many indie promotions and it can take a long period of time before finishing. Intermissions could be a hassle because it's forever to come. For instance, I was at a local indie promotion that had a W somewhere, probably in the middle, and whatever. But in any case, there was a match in which a 67-year-old man was in the ring with Rob Van Dam. That match alone took 79 minutes. It was heart-pounding and ass-pounding, if you know what I mean. But in any case, once I got home, I put Preparation Triple H on. Oh, the pain subsided. It helped every aches and pain that was aching me for that night. Thank you, WWE, and thank you, Preparation Triple H.
Preparation Triple H helps to heal and seal all those that hurt and disturb your bottom region, be it hemorrhoids, be it flare-ups, be it boils, be it itchy ass in which you didn't wipe yourself properly. Preparation Triple H is here for you. Co-signed by Vince McMahon himself. It's great. Preparation Triple H. Order it at WWEshop.com. This product is brought to you by Turnbuckle Tabloid.
Hey, yo, it's King Capo, Matt Travis, and you're listening to Turnbuckle Tabloids.
Give me a fucking mic! Turnbuckle Tabloid, cutting a promo.
So cutting a promo this week, ladies and gentlemen. Before I go in and get into it, I want to introduce our boy Henry Valentin from Chokeslam Report, and it's been a while since he's been on, and we always do the ceremonial thing where we appear on each other's show, and I'm happy to say that usually when I'm on his show, he says the numbers goes up, so I guess people like to hear a drunk albino talk shit.
It's true, man. We just don't. There's no fucking holes barred, bro. You know what I'm saying? And thank you for having me in your show, bro.
Yeah.
When we get together, we just talk. Fuck it. Whoever don't like it. Oh, well. Yeah. We're going to throw facts. Fuck that.
Believe me, I know a lot of people who've been listening to the show this past week didn't like my take on the Sasha and Naomi shit. But what can I tell you, man? You gotta look out for the crew first before you start doing shit on your own and fuck it up for everybody else. But before I get into that, and of course AEW, we're doing the predictions for Double or Nothing. I just want to say, before the mics went on, we just heard some terrible fucking news that occurred in Texas today, and you already know that this is a wrestling show, but I'm not one to pull away and, you know, look at what's the real reality in this world. You know, as much as we say it's still real to me, damn it, and when we talk about wrestling, the real reality is what's going on is that this fucking country that we live in is ass backwards, and it's basically going down a rabbit hole of nonsense and mental health ridiculousness. Our government, our legislation, our people that we put in office are not helping, and they're basically turning their backs on not only the minorities in this country, the women in this country, but also the children, in which they so heartily said they want to protect. But I guess once you out the fucking womb, it's you're on your own, kid, right?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it's just, I read that before I got on, and I'm like, the crazy shit is the guy who did it was a high school kid.
High school kid, and unfortunately, from what
it went into an elementary school and fucking shot up 14 people, including a teacher. I mean, we're in a dark place today, bro. It's just like, you know, it could be, I always say, you could do all the protests all you want, but this government and the people who we vote in don't give a fuck because they're getting the money under the table. They don't care about nobody but themselves. It's just, we're in a sad, sad world, bro.
I basically said that I'm with the shits where we could be like fucking Korea and just split the country down and just be like, listen, you know, you guys live your own fucking life and we live ours, and because yeah, apparently we can't coexist. You know, you want to sit there and you want to have these measures to prevent abortions and start locking motherfuckers up for that shit, but yet you can't even balance out the living and protect those and do something about the gun laws and shit. You're quick to take somebody's right away for the right of an abortion, but you don't want to take the right away for the Second Amendment for the right of bear arms, which was written in the time when guns were fucking muskets, and you had to load them shits up, and it took you like 15 minutes to shoot it. So
yeah, I mean, and the sad thing is, we both have daughters that, you know, 14 years old, and they gotta live in this society the way it is. I just hope, bro, that there's some type of some turn, bro, because it's just scary, bro. And this is one of the reasons I know I'm sure you do the same. You know, we protect our daughters and we on top of them because, yo, it's just, especially our kids, with his daughters or sons, it's this society is us out of control. It's just people don't care about getting arrested and mental health. They just don't care, bro. It's a sad world, bro.
Yeah, it's just terrible. It's a fucking terrible situation. So our prayers and our thoughts go with the families who lost loved ones today and for those who are having to deal with the fact that gun violence, not only in Texas, but also across the fucking the country, that's still having to bow down to a document that was written fucking over 300 years ago. And we still haven't gotten the message that the fact that, listen, we got to fucking fix this nonsense. We got to fix it. And even phone books have to change because sometimes the numbers, they don't work anymore. So we got to do something in this world. This is just fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, that's well said.
So with that being said, let's get into All Elite Wrestling. Double or Nothing is coming up, and I definitely had to reach out to you because you've been voicing your, I can't say it's negative, but your disapproval of what's been going on with AEW. And hell, you were a guy who's given AEW a multitude of chances down the line, but yet you're not feeling the same way these days. So what's going on?
Well, listen, like you said, you know, I gave AEW, you know, all the props because I figure, like, you know, we're sick and tired of the WWE with the same matches and all that. Now, as of now, I mean, they have given us some dream matches, but I still question it because, first of all, why the women's division is still the way it is. It has not improved at all since 2019, since the inception of AEW Dynamite. Then we have the situation where MJF is now not happy and whatnot. And, you know, and I believe that after that report came through about him not that he wants to leave, that he might go to WWE, we saw the bullshit fucking the whips that they did last week with Warlow and all that. I'm like, and the way they did it this time was nowhere compared to when Cody Rhodes did it. Because when Cody Rhodes did the whole 10 lashes thing, you know, you was invested and you felt bad for the guy because he was getting whipped. I mean, you saw markings in his back and his front. This shit they did this time is like, I feel like, I don't know who's coming up with these fucking ideas. And I'm sure Tony Khan's the one who's approving all this. And there's a lot of shit going on that I'm like, okay, you're not pushing this guy, but you're pushing this guy. Why are you, like, my question is, like, one of them is, like, where's Miro? We haven't seen Miro since he lost the damn TNT belt to Sammy Guevara.
Supposedly he's still nursing an injury.
Sammy Guevara, that fucking storyline is just, you know, who's the bad guy
here? Well, they booked themselves in a corner with that because once Sammy and Ty started going on social media with their escapades, I'm not sure whether or not who greenlit that shit, who approved of it, but this is why WWE doesn't like really pushing too much of their real relationship angles. You know, they don't like really having. You know, you already know that these individuals are together. We don't need it to be overly saturated. And then the way that Sammy and Ty just out of the blue just got together after he sat there and fucking proposed to his woman on TV, which she was like a fucking Puerto Rico 6 anyway. But not to take anything away from her, it's not her fault. She looked bad that day. I don't know. I mean, I would have banged her anyway. But even so. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to give her shit because, like I said, I would fuck her. She would probably fucking she would probably fucking deny me puss anyway. But in any case, they basically booked themselves in that situation and they didn't know how to get the fuck out of it because now Tony Khan had to look and say, like, damn, come on, what you do?
But isn't it? I think what they did with that was what Brandy and Cody were supposed to do, but Cody didn't want to turn a heel. So now, since Cody's not there anymore, they figured probably Sammy would do it. And Sammy, you know, he figured, I'm going to get heat anyway because, you know, that people did not approve what he did to his ex-girlfriend. And he was already getting heat.
But it was not only that. Ty Conti, all of a sudden, you know, he announces his separation of his engagement, the breakup of his engagement. She announces that she's divorcing. Not even a month later, they're seen together, and all of a sudden,
they got engaged.
Right. Are they engaged?
I think so, yeah. Or they announced it. One of those shit. I don't know
what the fuck. They
fucking, to me, that whole storyline between that whole thing is, they messed that up big time.
Well, it's also you doing too much with it. I mean, if you're gonna put the heat on, you put the heat on.
Yeah,
but now you gave them go away heat. You didn't give them regular heat, and people, you know, people say, like, well, what, you know, what's the real difference? Either case, they're fucking heels. That's what it is. Yeah, I get it. Like when I look at MJF, it's not go away heat. It's
no, because
what a fucking smug asshole.
is that MJF is going to give you what he's supposed to be. The go away heat, see, this is the difference that people don't understand. Go away heat does not mean that, oh, because, oh, they're here, you know, they're doing their job. No, go away heat means it's annoying. You want to fucking change the channel and go watch a basketball game or something until they don't no longer in the fucking segment. And people don't understand that, you know. And this go away heat, and then there's regular heat.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's just, I don't understand. I got to fucking be explaining that shit all the time online because people don't understand the fucking difference.
Yeah, you know, and I don't like using the terminology that it used to be called. It used to be called X-Pac heat, but because I thought that was unwarranted at the time when they gave it to him. But even so, that's why I said the go away heat, it's, there's just certain individuals that they don't know how to balance that line. And you look at that situation. You look at the Jericho Appreciation Society, how that's running, and I'm like,
What do you think about that?
I think it's horseshit. You put together a group. First of all, the name is god awful, and regardless of what Jericho thinks about his contributions to wrestling creatively.
Yeah.
Some motherfuckers think that they're funny, and some people think that they're really creative, and they're really not. Listen, the best thing that you did was you started that faction that nobody believed in, and it worked. You guys made it work, and that was cool. They actually became a cool group.
We're talking about what, the Inner Circle?
The Inner Circle. Look at that. You almost fucking forgot the name. Like, and that goes to show you about that too. Like that, it can go away that easily. Yeah. But you took four other guys that you were like, hey, why them? And you put them together and you went, okay, they rubbed off on me, and that's fine. But now it's like, you want to start a different angle. You take a bunch of these fucking jamooks that you, I guess, said, hey, I think these guys are cool. I could put them over. And 2.0 was like, 2.0 could have gotten over really by themselves, because you come to find out that the guys actually are kind of dickheads, which is, like I said, not go away heat. They're regular heat.
Yeah.
They're actually fucking unlikable pricks, which is fine. Yeah. Daniel Garcia is one that shouldn't be in that group.
Exactly.
I don't think he should be there. And Jericho is just, you know, biding his time until he's ready to do some next shit or the next Fozzy tour.
Yeah, and I think that's the bad part, I think, in that group. Because you got the 2.0, and then Jake Hager is just Jake Hager. But then you add Dan, Garcia in there, who's a fucking beast. This guy's a beast. I mean, if you watch him in New Japan and you watch him Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, actually, he's a Pro Wrestling Guerrilla world champion.
Right.
So you got him in there, and but you got him, he loses. He looks so uncomfortable. He's better off in the combat pool club.
And you know better than me, because that was the next way I was going to go with it. You know better than me, because I was the first one that said, really, Wheeler Yuta? Like, what the fuck is, what are we doing here? But you've liked Yuta for some time. And I was like, all right, I'll for some time, I've been watching him. I saw him with the best friends. I saw nothing. And, you know, you and other guys was like, oh, you need to see him when he was here and this promotion, whatever. And I said, okay. I gave him a shot there, and I said, okay, the kid is...
He's nice, bro.
Yeah, but he's mediocre at best, because I can look at Lee Moriarty and be like, okay, he does the same shit. Like, There's nothing there that screams to me. And the reason why is because you're in the same pen with a bunch of motherfuckers who do the same shit like you. If you would have put Garcia in that group, I'd be like, I could see that. That makes more sense.
I remember they did a promo and they mentioned, Brian Danielson mentioned about Garcia, and I was like, oh shit, they're gonna bring Garcia in,
right?
And they didn't. They brought Yuta. I mean, I'm not disappointed. They had Willie Yuta, because like you said, I've been watching Yuta for a while. But I would have rather had Daniel Garcia in there also, you know what I'm saying? Because Garcia mixes better with Danielson and Moxley.
Yeah. And he fits Regal's kind of look. Yeah. Regal could have taken him under the wing, worked him. It's, I think it's all the time that my thoughts are this. It's, you know, the lunatics are running the asylum now. There's no doctor at Arkham.
There's no warden.
There's no warden. There's no doctor who's giving out the proper prescriptions to tell these guys, listen, you are you're not fucking taking your meds and being sure that you're booking the proper way, because a lot of these motherfuckers are booking for themselves. Someone that was in the back was like, you know, we want them to make a faction. It would probably have been like Jericho and fucking Daniel Bryan. And they're like, okay, who are you going to take? I'll take this guy. And he's and fucking Jericho is like, I'll take Daniel Garcia. And you're like, fuck. It's like fantasy football. It was like, fuck, I wanted to pick him. All right, fine. I'll take Wheeler Yuta. Like, it just seems.
It looks like that.
It seemed weird. So I hate using that word because I use it often. But with them, it's just such an awkward situation. It's also the situation where we see the tag champs in the triple threat, where you got Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus versus Tony Starks and Powerhouse Hobbs and Keith Lee.
Ricky Starks.
Tony Starks. You hear me? That's the second beer that I'm kicking him. And Keith Lee.
Iron Man.
Yeah, right. Keith Lee and Swerve Strickland. And I'm going, really? How the fuck did they fit into that power the power rankings that quick? Keith Lee and motherfucking Strickland. How'd that happen?
I don't know. To be honest, I just think that they're trying to get those belts off Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus for the simple fact there's gonna be a betrayal coming. And that I can see Christian turning on Jungle Boy, because I mean, you could see it coming. As far as the Keith Lee and Swerve, that kind of threw me off, because I last time I checked, Swerve and Keith Lee lost to Powerhouse Hobbs and Ricky Starks.
Right.
So why are they in the mix? But I guess because you figure the Hardys are going against the Young Bucks, which I don't fucking care for that match.
I thought you would have been a big fucking supporter of that.
No, I'm gonna tell you why in a minute. But that's why. So this tag team, that Red Dragon, I'm probably going to see Adam Cole versus Kyle O'Reilly, which is going to be fucking great, bro. I'm going to tell you that right now. Mm. But these guys have viewed it in the past in Ring of Honor, and they had some crazy-ass matches.
They had defeated the Ring of Honor. They carried it over to NXT.
They wrestled for the belt, Ring of Honor belt in Japan.
Right.
So I think it wasn't Wrestle Kingdom. I think it was 2017 or 18, one of those. But you're right. It looks weird to have Starks and Hobbs, which they're not really a tag team. They're not really a tag team. They're just part of the faction. So I don't really not worry about that. But the Swerve and Keith Lee threw me off, I guess because they want to have Keith Lee somewhere involved in there. But I think mainly one of those two teams that are going to win the belts, because I'm telling you right now, Christian is turning on Jungle Boy. It's coming, bro.
It's coming, but it's like, who cares?
You're right.
Even his tutelage, his mentorship, it was flawed from the beginning. Like who really gave a fuck that Christian took them under the wing? Like, if there was something that correlated to say, like, he was able to say, I remember when me and Adam first got together and we formed this tag team, and I could see it in you guys, and blah, 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 you know, and he kept, none of that was mentioned. Nothing even came up to any tying of the personalities to say that. Why did Christian give a fuck about joining up with these dudes?
Yeah, but I think because Marco Stunt was not there, so I think Marco Stunt already was. I think he was doing some.
Well, he was injured, and then he started doing the the voices and shit. But even so, it's like, so you replaced a fucking little person wrestler with Christian Cage?
Yeah.
You replaced a mascot with a fucking legend, and it went bleh. I mean, it didn't make any. Like I said, I don't know. Then the other thing that's like, I know the fans love it. I know this is something that I guess I should have been paying attention more on Dark Elevation or Dark or Dark Side Returns or the Dark Knight Rises, AEW, whatever the fuck.
It's real dark.
But this whole Hook and fucking Danhausen shit. Like,
I love Danhausen. I'm sorry, but I love Danhausen. And that's the thing I'm telling you. See, I don't know how many people have watched Danhausen wrestle. This guy could wrestle. He could wrestle. Now, I'm going to tell you this much. I think it was the episode of May 11th. That's when I went to the USB Arena. They had Tony Nese beat him like nothing.
They squashed him.
They squashed him. And I was like, I was so pissed. I was like, what the fuck is going on here? But this is what I'm saying. Like, who comes up with this? You know what I'm saying? How you have the guy who's so popular with the fans, right? And it's not like he's his first time wrestling, because he's wrestling Ring of Honor. Right. And he gets squashed in 2 minutes.
Well, they're gonna make him the Bad Bunny of this match, because now they're gonna give him all the fucking high spots of the match.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and
but I don't get the tag team with him and Hook. I don't get that, because if you're trying to build Hook like this unstoppable guy, right? Because that's the most I hear online. People are mad. Oh, why is Hook getting over? And this and this and that.
Dude is buck 70 wet. All right, I get it. He's fucking cut up. He's good looking. Yeah. The chicks love it. Guys are like, oh, the motherfucker's in the strip club getting the lappy. All right, I get it. All right, cool. He's got a little gimmick for him.
Yeah.
But you could have rode his wave of just him going in, knocking down opponents one by one for a year. You could have did like how Taz was in ECW. Remember when Taz was doing it? Taz was just going in, fucking motherfuckers up, and just was walking out and just kept it pushing.
Putting people to sleep.
Yeah, I mean, it'd have been easy. The same I could say about Cargill. Y'all pushed Cargill way too fucking hard. And once again, she's greener than Kermit the Frog's dick. I don't fucking care. Like, do you see anything with her?
With Jay Cargill? I mean, Cargill is improving. And I saw the improvement. But then they fucking hooked her up with Red Velvet and the other one.
Kira Hogan.
Kira Hogan, yeah. And I'm like, and now they call themselves the baddies. I'm like, does AEW have to add more fucking factions?
Yes. Why? Yes.
Like, why? This is not New Japan. It works for New Japan because New Japan has probably what? Right now, New Japan only has four. Maybe if it's four, it's a lot. They got like probably three or four factions.
There's like four major factions.
Yeah, you got Chaos, you got Bullet Club, you got Suzuki Gun, and I forgot the other
group. Los Ingobernables.
There you go, Ingobernables. So it's four. You look at AEW, they got like about 10. And you'll be like, why you got everybody bunched up?
But you know why? Because I've been saying it for the longest time. And I'm not against it. It's because it's reality. It sells merchandise. Everybody wants to be part of something. Everybody wants to be a part of a faction. WWE is finally fucking smartening up and doing it themselves. They're doing Judgment Day. It's a possible club kind of team that's going to happen soon. The Bloodline. It's smart booking because it's smart money.
Right now, if AEW is smart, you take the Deathpool Combat Club, House of Black, the Death Triangle, and let me see what's the other team in there. You could have done something with the Pinnacle. I don't know what the fuck happened with that. But those are the main three teams that I will just deal with.
It's funny you mentioned that, right? That nobody fucking mentions the Pinnacle, right?
But think about it. Look how they disbanded that group, right?
Quietly,
exactly. They now Warlow, they went in and they took him out. And instead of, I remember, I think the last time I saw the Pinnacle together, they attacked somebody with it when they beat the shit out of CM Punk and made him bleed.
Yeah, that was
the last time you saw them together. Download something. Now the Pinnacle is no longer around.
FTR faces Warlow and MJF got heat. Sean Spears is a fucking lackey.
That's one talent, bro, that I said to myself, he left WWE to do what?
But the worst thing was that they bring in Big Damo to have a match with him, and Spears finished Damo that easily?
This is what I'm telling you. They bring in all these people that you've seen in other promotions that are good, and you put them with a guy like Sean Spears, and for what? For what? Sean Spears is not going to get over on Dynamite. He's just MJF lackey. You know what I'm saying? And to me, I'm like, and don't get me wrong. It's not like I don't like Sean Spears. I think Sean Spears has a lot of potential, right? But the thing is that they haven't. I don't know if it's because of the chair shot that he did to Cody Rhodes. And he got a lot of heat for that.
Yeah, but you don't.
But you still with that shit?
Yeah, but you know what's the other thing too is that AEW limits themselves because they want to say, "Well, I don't want to book DQs all the time." And it's like, okay, I understand that, but you still aren't giving your heels proper ways to be heels to win matches. You're not giving them that outlet to make them do heelish things to win matches. Your referees look dumb as shit anyway. I could fucking low blow somebody and the referee would act as though like he's fucking Ray Charles. Like they're dumb. And don't get me started about this whole shit with Aubrey Edwards, how she started off as one of the best things that happened in AEW, and all of a sudden now she's a fucking muppet for that company. But you know, they've limited themselves when it comes to their heels because now, since they don't want to have any DQs or have their heels play heels properly, unless the heels that are really doing it, like an MJF and such, who say, listen, whatever you guys don't want me to do is not going to make sense.
Yeah.
And we'll work around it. The kid is what, 25, 26 years old? And I swear to you, I bet you he's probably the only kid that they trust to go in the ring and say, you know what, call it in the ring.
Yeah. And it's true. And it's true. I think, look, AEW has so many problems. And one thing, another thing that I saw a couple of weeks ago was when Warlow powerbombed Lance Archer and he got pinned on one powerbomb.
No, they didn't know. He did it to Morrissey. It was one powerbomb on Morrissey.
Yeah, Morrissey, yeah.
It was Morrissey. But you know why, though? Because Morrissey said, fuck that. I'm not taking all those powerbombs. Fuck you. Y'all not burying me like that. Fuck that.
And the thing is, I said to myself, so you brought in Morrissey to fight Warlow, and now Morrissey in Impact has been very dominant. Mm-hmm. He gave Moose a run for his money.
Right.
Comes into AEW, takes one powerbomb, while Warlow's been giving everybody five, and he pins Morrissey. I'm like, okay. And then you wonder why Impact don't want to work with you.
Well, but the fact is that with Morrissey's situation, he looked good in the match anyway. I can't take that away from him.
Yeah, but that powerbomb.
Like but he's not. He wasn't going to take more because he's like, you're not going to fucking bury me. You're not going to do that. Yeah. That's not going to happen.
But does it make sense that Waller has been powerbombing? I mean, a guy like Lance Archer, okay? Lance Archer, I've been following this guy since TNA day all the way to New Japan, okay? He's been the most dominant guy in New Japan for the last 5-6 years until he came in. And you powerbombed the guy five times and you beat him. They made Lance Archer look weak, very weak.
Yeah, but the other thing, too, is that, you know, they once again, it's another thing where they put themselves in a situation to where now, all right, Morrissey's not an elite
wrestler.
He's not signed with them. You know, he's one of those that they do the one-offs and shit, which I appreciate with them. I like that they do that, but they book themselves stupidly when they do it. The point with that is you've got a lot of, you know, big motherfuckers in there that are similar, and now that you have them going against this one guy, it's like, what more can you do with them? The only thing that they really did that was different from Archer, which I thought was a slap in the face, is that you made Morrissey look more dominant than Archer.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah. Because Archer didn't do much in that match. Mm-hmm. He didn't do much. I think Morrissey looked good. You know, he took it to Warlow, but that's that one powerbomb. I was like, what the fuck? Did he pin him?
Yeah.
And it was shocking that Lance Archer the week before that, I mean, he just made him look weak. He made Lance Archer look mad weak. And I'm like, okay. So someone in there is not booking this shit right.
We talked about the Hardys and the Young Bucks. And am I the only one that thinks that Jeff does not look good in this promotion?
I don't know. I think he's... the way I seen him wrestle, I mean, he had a great match with freaking Darby with that crazy ass match that they had.
Really though,
I mean, because we talk about Darby, bro. So you know, when you look at Darby, you know Darby's gonna do some crazy shit. So I expect Jeff to do some crazy shit. I just didn't like the fact that they did it at the Owen Hart tournament. that was not the
right. That's what I was leading to, because you know what you just told me,
yeah,
as a promoter, mm-hmm, that you don't trust those two guys to have a legit match. Maybe if you wanted to add, you know, a couple of dives outside, dives off the top rope, maybe one or two table spots like we saw in the Briscoes versus FTR in Ring of Honor. Maybe you had that, you know, that thing here and there you could have used, maybe.
Yeah.
But you're telling me that you couldn't trust your two guys to have a legit match in a tournament that was significant. It was your opening of a memorial. So you put them in a match where everybody's like, well, it's a dream match. Okay. So let them have a fucking wrestling match.
Exactly.
You could have the dream match that you want, where you want you want ladders, you want fucking thumbtacks, you want fucking tables, you want a fucking hose going up somebody's ass. If that's what you want, well, you know what? We'll do that down the line. You'll pay for that. You'll pay to see that.
Yeah.
This one you gave for free.
Yep.
It's a fucking waste now.
Yeah.
That's what bothered me.
Because the one thing I noticed about AEW as of late, they'll give you a dream match and they'll go and the ending, they'll fuck it up. I'll give you a good example. Minoru Suzuki versus Samoa Joe. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm a big time New Japan strong style type of fan. So when I saw that, I was like, yo, I was hyped because it's Samoa Joe against Minoru Suzuki, and Minoru Suzuki is like one of my favorite wrestlers in Japan.
Right.
And then they go and mess it up, the ending, with this goofball coming out of nowhere. Nobody knows who the hell it is. And they did the same thing last week with the Adam Cole and Jeff Hardy match. They rushed that match because they were running out of time. So they basically went back. They're going backwards instead of going forward when it comes to timing of events.
Because this you know who fucked up the timing on that match?
Oh.
That was a fucking the Jericho and Regal promo.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's, I don't know. That was a stupid, I think that whole promo. And look what it was when the Jericho Society with this Santana Ortiz bullshit, they've been dragging that shit for fucking weeks and has not gone nowhere. It wasn't until the May 11th episode when now you saw Danielson and Moxley joining these guys. And I'm like, okay, this didn't make sense. I'm like, okay, because I've been saying for weeks, you got five guys beating up on three guys for the last God knows month. So I'm like, where's this going? You know, to finally now we know where it's going. But they're still playing around with people's head because, oh, now Eddie Kingston doesn't get along with Bryan Danielson. Come on, man. Stop that shit. Like, come on. You know? So, you know, the thing with the Jeff Hardy, also with the Hardys against the Young Bucks. Now, the reason I don't care for that, because I think Tony Khan is trying to relive something that happened back in March of 2017. At the Mayhem at the Hammerstein Ballroom.
Right.
These two guys with these two teams fought. That was a dream match.
Right.
I was there to see it. I don't want to fucking relive something from 5 years ago. I don't care.
They're fucking, they're 5 years older. Mm-hmm. Matt looks like he's fucking, he's having too much fucking acapurrias and fucking pateles.
Rebby's cooking.
I love the fact that he's really fucking Boricua now. He's embraced that shit.
Yep.
And Jeff, to me, like I said, I mean,
he looks uncomfortable, though.
He looks uncomfortable, and he looks like he's just regulated to be a stuntman. And I don't give a fuck what nobody tells me. I'm not, if I was a wrestler, I'd be like, yo, I'm not taking your swanton. That shit looks trash these days.
Yo, he hurt. Who he hurt?
It looked like he hurt Isaiah Cassidy.
Yes, yes. He hit him, and I think his thigh landed on his head.
Yeah, I said, fuck you. I'm not taking that shit.
Nah, hell no. I don't know if you know that every time him and Sting are around each other, Sting looks at him like making sure this motherfucker ain't high for that bullshit that happened. What was it? 2013 and shit. The nigga showed
shit,
up.
Jeff needs to look at Sting to make sure that he ain't fucking high because this motherfucker's 67 years old jumping off of shit.
Get the fuck
out of here. Yeah, everybody's like, pray for Rick. He's got one more match going in him. And none of y'all praying for Sting, stupid ass, jumping off of fucking balconies and shit. Fuck you. The other one I felt is looking uncomfortable in a situation too is Toni Storm. I'm like,
yeah.
She does not And I've liked Tony before she got in WWE. I was happy to see her when she was in the Mae Young Classic. She fucking killed it in there. She looked like she could have been their next premier star. And she's another one that maybe her ego got in front of her a little bit, which is, in her case, she did it the right way. She said, you know what? Fuck it. I'm out. I'm just going to leave. I'm going to go home. And that's it. I'm not doing this.
They were planning to pull like some segment when she had to strip down some bullshit.
Oh, please. That's fucking Pornhub fucking John Laurinaitis. He can't fucking get that shit out of his head. He needs to fucking go. I can't stand him. He needs to be 800 miles away from the women's division. Leave him the fuck out of it. But even so, her in AEW and the promos that she's been having, it seems like no one cares. The only one that is putting this over is Britt. Britt is the only one that's putting it over because she has the best entrance in the fucking game.
Yeah, yeah. But Britt has improved her promo skills. I still think she needs to work more on her wrestling skills. But she's the only one, let me put it this way. She doesn't even have the belt. And whenever Britt Baker's out there to even talk, whatever, she's the only one that I've said, okay, let me see what she has to say.
Because I don't take that away from her, yeah.
Thunder Rosa right now, okay, I'm happy she won the belt. I'm a big Thunder Rosa fan, but she's been iffy, bro. She's been very iffy. And now this her against Serena Deeb match, I don't care because you know what?
I love it because I'm a big Deeb head. I love Serena Deeb. Fucking Serena Deeb. And I think she cut the one of her best promos ever this past week. Regardless of what anybody would say, it was scripted because she was fumbling over what she had to say. Mm-hmm. And maybe she was a little bit nervous because she doesn't really cut promos that way.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day,
Are you looking forward to that match?
I actually am. More than I'm looking at the fucking Fatal 4-Way, I actually am. Because at least those two can work.
Yeah.
The other ones can work, but it's not on the level of Thunder Rosa and Serena Deeb.
Yeah, because Serena Deeb beat Thunder Rosa for the NWA belt. Like a year and a half ago. So they wrestled each other.
Right.
I just feel like you have to build more on it.
Listen,
to make it more interesting.
The best compliment that any and women who wrestle have said it is the best compliment that you could ever heard is like, yo, you can fight like a dude. And Serena is, you could put her in the ring with 100 motherfucking jobbers, 100 mid-card motherfuckers, and she'll fucking show them up.
Yeah, she'll make them look good.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
There's not a lot of women that can do that. But lastly, we'll talk about the Hangman Page and CM Punk build up. I think that a lot of people are riding the nostalgia of this with the Punk thing. And then not to take anything away from Punk, because Punk has been doing what Punk is going to do. You know, it's just Punk. I think right now, Hangman being who he is, and now we're slowly but surely trying to turn him heel.
Yep.
When you should have maybe not do that. I think Punk coming in as heel would have been the better one.
Because
now you got Hangman coming in as heel, and it's like, we don't believe you. We need more people.
Yeah. the thing is, I feel like, you know, the way they did this was, I don't know. I mean, they figured they didn't have nobody else for Hangman Page because, you know, he had two good matches against Adam Cole, and they were good. I mean, if you look at it, I mean, CM Punk was the last one that I feel that maybe is the one to give him a run for his money.
Right.
But I have a prediction here because you know that, okay, we have this, what is this, Sunday, right?
Mm-hmm.
The AEW New Japan Forbidden Door is on the 26th, which is only 3 weeks after that, right?
Right.
But this is my prediction. Do not be surprised if Kenta interferes in this match and calls CM Punk this match. Because Kenta, I remember when he won the United States belt in October, he called out CM Punk. Now, the reason you haven't heard from Kenta was because he had this crazy match with Hiroshi Tanahashi. He was like a freaking all kinds of fucking, there was ladders, all kinds, and he broke his nose with the ladder, and he just had a lot of fractures. And I think he broke his audible bone. So he's back. He's back. He hasn't wrestled Japan, but he's already cleared to wrestle.
So well, they have been having a back and forth because
for years.
As recently there was a post that someone posted and said a match I want to see for Forbidden Door is CM Punk versus Kenta, yeah. And Punk commented, it was like, yeah, no,
yeah, well,
that's not gonna happen. And Kenta responded where he laughed and he was like, okay, well, enjoy using my move and you doing it badly.
Yeah, but see, that's I believe that when they do stuff like that on Twitter, that's all a setup.
Oh yeah,
I think he's gonna show up,
and that's the way it's supposed to be done. This is why I hate the fact that you have the best opportunity to sell kayfabe with social media, and what's the one thing y'all don't do is sell fucking kayfabe. Because we gotta be real. We can't lie.
Yeah.
Fucking
idiots. That's what makes MJF that good, because he sticks to this kayfabe.
Oh, God.
Even when he's doing the fucking signing, he disses anybody. He don't give a fuck.
I just recently heard a story about MJF. Someone we know went to an event. They were backstage, and they brought a friend. And you know, the friend was, you know, he was marking out. He was taking pictures with everybody. And MJF fucking no-sold the whole shit. He was still in fame the whole fucking time. And I was laughing because the person we know is so fucking hood, and we're just looking at him like, are you fucking serious? Bro, I would slap the shit out of you.
It kind of reminds me of somebody that I hang out with, House of Glory. We went to where Jay White was signing, and I had to calm this person down because he was marking out. I'm like, Jay White told him, hey, my man, relax. I was like, buddy, calm down.
These past couple of months, I've been having those same instances where I have to, like, grab somebody and grab them, and I'm like, all right, chill out, bro. Like,
you don't want to make yourself look stupid.
Act like you've been here before, fam. Relax.
Exactly.
All right, so let's get into predictions right now. We're going to open it up. The one I have on the top of the card, we have Hookhausen. Oh, fuck me. Oh, whatever.
I got Hookhausen. That's
Hook and Danhausen versus Tony Nese, and they're adding Smart Mark Sterling. I'm going to guess this is probably going to be the pre-show.
That's the pre-show, yeah.
Yeah. So
there's going to be Hook and Danhausen winning that one.
I'm going to say that they're going to give Danhausen his 5 minutes of fame, and then we're just going to have
he'll pin Mark Sterling.
Yeah, and then we'll have we'll just have Hook choke him out. So we'll do that because we don't want to bury Tony Nese, right?
Yeah, no. It's the greatest athlete or whatever they call him now.
Next, we have Jade Cargill with the rest of the baddies facing Anna Jay, and it's like, where did that fucking come from?
Exactly. That was the first thing when I saw that name. I was like, you mean to tell me all those girls you got back there, you putting Anna Jay to wrestle again? We know Carhill's gonna be here. That's a no brainer right there.
Which, by the way, why did they bring in what's her name? Roderick Stone's wife, Mariska Hargitay. What the fuck is her name?
Oh my god, I know who you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. Why did they bring her in just to get fucking humiliated on a fucking AEW? Is this what we're doing?
I'm telling you, this is why I've been so critical about AEW, because it's like they're bringing these outsiders or whoever, and then you make them look like shit.
I'll tell you one thing though, and I know from a reliable source.
Yeah,
the fucking money's good.
Mm.
The money is fucking crazy.
Wow.
This fucking guy for a one spot would pay for your transport, would pay for room and board if you need it, and the payout is fucking phenomenal.
But now you know why they go there.
Nice four-figure payout to do nothing.
Yeah.
So
you get squads and still get make a four-figure.
Yeah.
So the man got money, you know what I'm saying? But it's
still like, I get the wrestlers because the wrestlers like, okay, fuck it. You're paying me. I'll take it. But at the end of the day, for your company, it's like, it makes no fucking sense.
Yeah.
Next up, we get the Kyle O'Reilly versus Samoa Joe versus Adam Cole for the Men's Owens Cup Tournament Final. Which, why are we doing a triple threat?
Yeah, I didn't even know it was a triple
threat. Oh, no, sorry, it's not a triple threat. The winner between Kyle O'Reilly and Samoa Joe faces Adam Cole. You have predicted that it's going to be Kyle O'Reilly.
It's going to be Kyle O'Reilly. It's going to be Kyle O'Reilly because, how do you call it? Samoa Joe is too involved with this Jay Lethal shit. So they're going to get him. But they hit him with a pipe last week.
Right,
so,
right.
You know something's going to happen.
So, yeah, they're going to say he's working an injury with the pipe. So
exactly. So now Kyle O'Reilly versus Adam Cole, they're going to put it for the simple fact that these guys are supposed to be the elite and whatnot. So I don't know. I think it's going to be that, but I can't give you a prediction who's going to win on that because it could go either Adam. I could see Adam Cole winning it and they'd be like, oh, I'm sorry. You know, he does some stupid shit or whatever, some huge shit. And then, you know, they probably later on down the line, they'll probably have a breakup of Red Dragon being part of the elite, you know? So
I'll say,
because Kenny Omega is not coming anytime soon, was what I read today. So he's not even coming. He's not even going to be in Forbidden Door. So.
He's still got to finish. He got to finish the video game.
I
think Kyle gets the win, over Samoa Joe.
Yeah.
Leading up to their match with Cole and O'Reilly, I'm not mad at it because it's just if you want to put the comparison to Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn and they'll run the different promotions. Okay, I'm okay with that. It's just that I don't want to hear the hypocrisy with the AEW fan base who, this is fucking great. And it's like, yeah, we've seen it before. We've seen. Exactly.
It's just a different promotion.
It's just a different promotion. It's like, I don't say you're doing anything different. AEW's not reinventing the wheel. They're not making a new form of sliced bread. they're doing the same shit. I think Adam Cole will get the win in this match, and I'll explain in a minute why.
Okay.
Which will be, we have the winners between Toni Storm and Britt Baker against Ruby Soho, or the winner of Chris Statlander. I'm going to go and say that Baker wins this match against Toni Storm, and Ruby Soho wins the match against Statlander. I'm sorry. I remember watching Statlander in the Indies. I didn't really think she was got that good then. She was
old. The wrestling House of Glory, right?
She had a couple of matches there, but I remember she was more with that whole Joey Janela clan and shit like that. And I have to say that she's not terrible, but there's still something with her missing. I know people were like, "Well, why did they get rid of the alien gimmick?" Because it's fucking stupid.
It was stupid.
It was stupid. Step your fucking game up. It works in the indies. Yeah. It doesn't work in a big fucking promotion.
Yeah.
Which is, it was great that they took it away from her.
Better now.
The better match here is Baker versus Soho. You would actually get a better match at the pay-per-view unless this is a time where Tony is going to fucking bury Ruby again in a match.
Yeah.
And put Statlander in there because that's our girl. Ruby's not our girl. She's a WWE girl. Statlander's our girl. So,
I mean, if Britt Baker versus Statlander will not make no sense.
But, you know, a lot of shit with this company doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, the winner of this match will, of the finals for the women's side, will be Britt Baker. Why? Yeah. Because what would be not more obnoxious than to have Adam Cole and Britt Baker both walking around as the winners of the tournament?
Yep. Yep, that is true. That is true. Because
and they're giving them belts.
Yep.
They're going to give them black and pink belts. So
yeah.
Get ready for the photo ops when it comes to them wearing those fucking belts.
Yep. So we'll see. I mean, it right now that I don't know. Is it me or this Owen Hart tournament is weak? I mean, I expected something better. I don't know why. I don't know.
Maybe
because I remember Josh Alexander saying that he wanted to be part of that before he re-signed with Impact.
Well, then, and the fact with Josh, he He had his travel issues as well. He was dealing with his passport stuff, so who knows what it was. But so. The other thing is, like, you would have wanted wrestlers in there that would have, like, been similar to Owen style or appreciate the Hart family's work and such. Yeah. But it was just a hodgepodge of different people who went in, and it was like, hey, look, we can fucking have a ladder match if we can.
Yeah, so. I did not understand that. Yeah. That was like, that you're supposed to put that tournament as in high regard, not put a damn gimmick match in the middle of the damn tournament.
It's like when you see that. I forgot what it is. Oh, and MLW, they do the Opera Cup, and that's the Canadian trophy, and that was Stampede Wrestling.
Yeah. It was Stu Hart's thing. Yeah,
his Stampede Wrestling trophy, and yeah. they hold it in high regard. Hell, the Crockett Cup is held in high regard.
Yeah,
this shit is like, we can do whatever the fuck we want, right?
Yeah, and the thing is, the only thing that I feel that they should have put Sean Spear because he's Canadian, right?
Right.
They didn't add him in there. The only Canadian in there is Kyle O'Reilly.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you really don't care about Canadian wrestlers? You should have put like half a.
And where the fuck was Andrade? Did he qualify? Did he even? Was he
Andrade? Andrade's in Mexico getting ready to get married to Charlotte.
Oh, okay. Next up, we get the Thunder Rosa and Serena Deeb for the AEW Women's World's Championship match. Who do you got here? And while you do that, I'm going to just go run and get a beer. Okay, tell your reasons why.
Yeah, I want to say Serena Deeb because I think she deserves to win a title in AEW. But the thing is, Thunder Rosa has only held this belt, what, about 60 days maybe? And she hasn't defended that much. And also because she has Serena Deeb beat Thunder Rosa a couple of years ago for the NWA title. I'm going to go with Thunder Rosa, but it's going to be a long match because Serena Deeb's, these two girls have wrestled before in AEW. I think it was a tournament.
Right.
And it was a good match, but I'm going with Thunder Rosa, but it's not going to be easy for Thunder Rosa. I would like Serena Deeb to win it because she does deserve to win a world championship in AEW because she is that good. But I don't see them taking away from Thunder Rosa because, let's face it, dude. She held the belt since what? Since St. Patrick's Day?
Since yesterday.
Yeah, since yesterday. How many times has she defended that belt? Once.
Yeah.
Against Nyla Rose. That's it. So she hasn't made nothing. And they're not going to take it up. They're not going to take it away from the second defense. If they do, I'll be surprised.
I'll take Thunder Rosa here, and I want this to be one of the highlight matches of the night.
Yeah.
But I don't think they're ready to take the belt off her of Rosa yet, unless she has plans to do other shit somewhere else.
Yeah, because she got her. Remember, she has her wrestling promotion, Mission Pro.
Yeah.
So unless she's trying to go run with that, I doubt it.
I doubt it. But as of right now, I think that this won't be the spoiler of the night the upset of the night. I think Thunder Rosa will take this one.
Yeah.
Next one, we'll get the 3-way tag team match for the AEW tag team championship. We get Jurassic Express, Team Taz, and Keith Lee and Swerve Strickland. Who you got here?
That's a fucking tough one, bro. I want to go with Keith Lee and Strickland for the simple fact that, you know, Tony Khan, you know, he wants to prove a point. Like, look, Keith Lee has a major title and Strickland. But I would like to see Starks and Hobbs win it. I think it's time Hobbs and Starks get a real title, not that freaking title that Starks walking around that nobody cares about. But I see Jurassic Express, they're not coming out with those belts at all. So I'm going to go with Starks and Hobbs.
I'm going to agree with you. I'm going to say that I think the partnership between Swerve and Lee is short-lived. I think the Team Taz win makes them more significant. It gives him more of reasoning, and it right now, it's a good look to have the heels, especially those two, as tag champs, because it'll build up down the line. The only thing is, who's going to be in the next chase to get those belts after that? We shall see. But I do see the Team Taz gets the W there.
Yeah. And I believe that Christian is gonna factor in on that one. He's going to cause. He's going to do something that's going to cause either he's going to betray Jungle Boy.
Or he's going to just do something that's going to
lead. These guys, Power Hobbs and Starks are going to take advantage because, either swerve or keep looking like, what happened? You know.
And isn't those triple threat kind of matches, aren't they no DQs anyway and shit like that? So
Yeah. So,
Pendeja.
Yeah, exactly.
So. Then we got the Anarchy in the Arena match. Oh,
Jesus Christ.
What is it that Cornette would say? Lazy booking.
Yeah. That's going to be a shit show.
And I know that you're a fan of these kind of matches, right?
Well, it depends, bro. It depends. Now you're fucking fighting in the middle of the fucking, in the middle of the arena, and they got to do five different shots. I hate that shit. Because that's, matter of fact, AEW does a lot of those matches. And especially they were doing that with Darby and Sting and Andrade's family office, whatever, or Los Menudos, whatever. You know what I mean? So, it's getting to me, bro. Because it's like, that's why I thought they were going to have the Bloods and Guts. Because the Bloods and Guts is in a cage.
Right.
Go with a fucking cage. You have these guys go and fight till blood comes out. And that's it. But Anarchy in the Arena, what that tells you, they're going to be fighting in the popcorn stand, in the merchandise stand. It's going to be a shit show, bro. And I think Kingston and Proud and Powerful and Deathful are going to end up winning that. Somebody's going to bleed, though. I'll tell you that much.
All right, man. Everybody's going to fucking bleed. They got to.
Yeah.
I'm going to say that I think you kind of bury BCC if they lose this match in a way, because you've been bringing them up so much to be this hardcore fucking team.
Yeah,
I don't know whether or not if and when they're gonna bring out the trios title, because I would think that would have some kind of relevance to this kind of match, because you don't want to bury your faction. But I would not be surprised if the Jericho Appreciation Society wins this shit, because Jericho has to be the one that's always won the Stadium Stampede kind of matches.
He'll throw a fireball at somebody.
Right. So somebody, no, that's, I'm a wizard.
That's a wizard. Yep.
So that's going to be there.
There's one match we forgot.
Which is what?
It's the House of Black versus.
Oh, no, I'm getting to it. We still got four more to go.
Okay.
And
four more to go.
Yeah, I know. Right. Shit. It's a fucking marathon.
Like fucking 5 hours.
Good
thing is a Memorial Day weekend.
Shit. Yeah, I'm off that night, the night after. Yeah, we got House of Black versus Death Triangle, which I want this to be the most fun match of the night.
Yeah, I think they could do it. And my prediction on that, I think Julia Hart will be a factor in there. And, people are just sleeping.
I forgot about that. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, I forgot about that. A lot of
fans were upset because they said, why Julia Hart didn't join the Blackheart, the House of Black? And I think Brody King said, you got to give it time. And it's true. You got to give it time. You're just not going to snatch the fucking girl.
Right.
And put just because you saw a little black around her patch. Oh, my God. No, you got to fucking build a story. So I believe that somewhere in this match, the lights are going to go out. And this fucking girl's going to pop out. And everybody's going to be, oh, my God. And then something's going to – I got House of Black on that.
I do, too. And I even forgot about that. And you know what? That actually be smart. That actually be smart for that moment.
Yeah. And then you'd be able to – now you got this
Give me the fun match and then let that happen. I'm good with that.
Yeah. If they don't do it, I won't be – if they don't do it, I won't be disappointed because I know it's coming. It's coming.
We get MJF versus Wardlow. I want this to be the match of the night. I want this to elevate Wardlow to another level. People are not understanding the whole reasoning for this, and also that the comparisons with Wardlow and Goldberg are there, and I'm not mad at it. I'm okay with it. He's a good looking kid. He actually
Warlord wrestles better.
Yeah, definitely. Hell yeah, please. And I'm just waiting. You know what I'm waiting for? Because I'm waiting for them to change his theme music, and I wanted to have that Goldberg EDM kind of mix, like that kind of thing.
Tony Khan will do some shit.
Exactly. Well, he'll find
the FBI with the Midnight Express shit.
No, he'll find like some old fucking like that chamber music. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Yeah. Like some shit like that.
Who you got on that one though? MJF and Wardlow.
Wardlow wins because Sean Spears fucks it up.
I'm going with MJF, and the reason I'm going to tell you why, because I think they're going to drag this probably All Out. He's going to make them do all this embarrassing stuff. Maybe after, I'm thinking more MJF is going to win it, but I think because it's about if Wardlow wins, he's out of his contract, right? So now
right. Think
about it. And say, let's say he beats MJF, right? Now what? What you do with Wardlow? You know what I'm saying? Where you going to put him at? What storyline are you going to put him at? You want to drag this a little bit to make it more interesting. You know what I'm saying? I go with MJF on that one.
The only thing that I don't like is that I would want them to book MJF in more matches where, like we used to do with Piper, where Piper would wrestle these fucking jobbers or lower level guys, and you would pad his record. So it gives him more of a look that he's a dominant wrestler.
Yeah.
And because, you know, the last match that we can remember is that what he had was the Punk match.
Yeah.
So I think that they're really looking to possibly invest in pushing Wardlow to maybe that mid-card status first, that he can be the guy that challenges for the TNT title. I think I think that it'll be that situation where they're ready to put the green flag on him to fly, and Sean Spears fucks this match up, and it also may be a punishment for MJF talking shit too much and saying, you know what, it's time to humble you a little bit. So
let me ask you a question. So since you said that, if AEW loses MJF, you think they don't lose anything? Because I mean, he barely wrestles. He's good at the mic, but he barely wrestles. He wrestles in the main like pay per views and shit.
Right.
So,
but that, but that's where the money's at. That's where the money's at for them.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking about the card right now, who's the marquee card on this Double or Nothing? I think this is probably the weakest Double or Nothing that we've had so far.
It's true. Yeah.
Yeah, and the only one that I would probably really give a fuck about is the MJF and Wardlow match. As a matter of fact, I did skip one. That's probably it. Oh, maybe the Owen Hart final. But other than that, it's like
it's just like a regular Dynamite.
Yeah, it's looking that way. I'm gonna take Wardlow on this one because I think this is his emancipation, and Tony Khan will come out and have him sign his contract once he does it, or he's gonna save it for Dynamite. We skipped over the Hardys versus the Young Bucks in a match that we both said, who gives a fuck?
Exactly. I don't care. They're trying to relive 2017. And you try to make up something from 5 years ago. They're not going to do the same shit they did 5 years ago. And this is the problem. You can't cater to these marks who wants to continue watching the same shit, same match. They're going to do the same shit they did 5 years ago, but slower.
Yeah, but you saw it 5 years ago, but some fucking marks didn't see it 5 years ago. They're like, oh my God, this is great.
Yeah, but you know, it's not going to, I could guarantee you this much. It's not going to get the same reaction.
No.
Thank God, the Hammerstein Bowl.
And you know what? I can't even say that because, honestly, you never know with these fuckers.
That is true, though.
You never know. I'm going to take Young Bucks here because knowing the old fucks, they would...
The old fucks,
they would take them. They would put them over. They would do it just because.
Yeah.
It doesn't hurt either one of them. It doesn't really matter.
Because, I mean... Is it implications to getting a world title shot? I don't think so.
The past couple of weeks, the Bucks have been bland anyway, but they've always been bland to me anyway. Let me stop. Japan, they were fucking cool to me. Yeah. When they got here and Ring of Honor and such, I was like, okay, whatever. But these past couple of weeks, they've been like, they've been there, hanging around.
Yeah, they look like they don't even want to be here.
Yeah, they've just been there, like, okay, let's get this match out of the way.
Yeah, I gotta get my paycheck.
Yeah, you know, so I think the Bucks take this one here. Who won it at Mayhem?
That night, I know the Young Bucks were wrestling. I forgot who they were wrestling. And then the lights went out, and then the Hardys came out, and the Hardys won the belts.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, the Young Bucks will win this one because they need to continue the storyline. So, Young Bucks will win this one. And lastly, we get CM Punk and Hangman Page for the AEW World Championship. Who you got?
I got Hangman Page retaining the belt. But like I said, my prediction, is probably an interference. If there's no interference, I think Hangman Page beats Punk and retains the belt. I doubt there's going to be a disqualification or anything of that course because, you know, AEW doesn't like doing disqualification, especially in a main event like that. But like I said, don't be surprised if Kenta comes out and gets involved in that match because, remember, it's a forbidden door of 30 days after that. So they got to build on that card.
Yeah, they need to have one or the other to happen.
Yeah.
To start building to that pay-per-view. I like the Kenta tease.
Yeah.
I would want that.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised about the, although you said he's not coming back, I wouldn't be surprised that Omega gets involved as well.
Really?
With Paige. I think that right now AEW and their higher ups are not happy with the way that Paige's run is going. And it's not Paige's fault. It's their fault.
Yeah, yeah. Because this is the thing that kind of reminds me, his title reign reminds me a little bit of Kenny Omega's. When Omega was chasing Okada for the IWGP belt, it made it so interesting. Once Omega got the belt, his reign was kind of weak. The only difference that with Hangman Page that they almost make it look almost exactly the same. The only thing is that Omega has had Paige has had great matches. Two of them with Danielson, two of them with Cole, and who else did he wrestle? I think he wrestled Lance Archer in a death match.
The Texas death match.
Yeah, the Texas death match. So that's what has saved Paige's reign because of those guys he has wrestled.
You one thing though, and I remember speaking to you about this before. I would have had fucking Paige's chase for the belt last 2 years. I would have done the Tommy Dreamer run at ECW. And I would have had such great matches with guys like Punk, Danielson. And then once he's there to get that challenge, somebody takes the belt off somebody else and he like has to reset and start again and build up to get there again. And he'll get into fucking matches with like Darby or Jeff Hardy or any incoming with Keith Lee and just keep building and building, his way back up to the fucking top. And then when he gets to the top again, the belt changes and he has to restart and start a fucking game. I would have done like a 2 year run for that shit and the fans would have ate that shit.
Hell yeah.
They would have fucking eaten that shit. They finally gave him the fucking belt after Omega said, you know what? I got to fucking take a break because my body's fucking torn up. You gave him shitty fucking matches. Not to say that they were shitty because the matches weren't good, but it was the buildup made zero or no sense or less than. Mm-hmm. So now you just made him bland. If anything, you're turning him heel with Punk when you should have made him an asshole once he fucking won the belt.
Yep. I think so. Yep.
I'm going to say Hangman takes this match.
Yeah, me too. I think Hangman will take the match. I mean, either, you know, if it's not a Kenta, it might be a roll up or something, or Hangman may grab the ropes. Who the fuck knows? Because, I mean, again, you're right. They were trying to make him as the heel guy, And I saw that promo. I'm like, wait a minute. He's coming out as the, like a heel. Why is he coming out as a heel?
Right.
You know, I mean, when I was in the Long Island with Pug, he got booed out of the damn building.
Right.
And I'm saying to myself, this is what they should be doing with Hangman. Because, you know, CM Punk is loved with Seth Long Island because MJF town.
Right.
But I don't know. You know, this is what I'm saying. Like, this is one of the reasons why I've been giving heat on fucking AEW, because it's like they do things one week and you're like, okay, that sounds good. Then they go and they do some shitty shit. And I'm like, okay, you know, we talk shit about WWE, but this is WWE bullshit that they doing too.
Hey, so, maybe this might be the introduction that you may like, you know, because you're a Bullet Club guy, so maybe this is your introduction to bringing Bullet Club fully into AEW.
Well, that's another thing, because now I remember Jay White coming to AEW and talking
right,
about
remember, he made the big announcement, so
he made the thing with the Elite and Bullet Club. I'm like, we on that shit again?
Yeah, I'm telling you.
I'm like, this is stupid. Like, it doesn't make no sense. Like, what was coming up with this bullshit, it just don't make no sense. What they should do, and I said this, I think, when Omega was out and Adam Cole came in as, one of the guys in there, I said, what they should do is what they – because, remember, Don Callis came out in Revolution and planted seeds of Omega may face Adam Cole down the line.
Right.
And then I even fucking doing that. All of a sudden, they put in Jay White. I'm like, okay – where does Jay White fit in all this? You know what I'm saying? I don't know. I mean, you know, they got potential. They got a lot of work to do. They have a lot of work to do. And I hope they do.
Listen, to me, it's always been stop fucking catering to the fans' belief of dream matches and fucking dream product. Stop it. Because invest in the fact of what storytelling is. Stop with the fucking give the fans too much of what they want. This is why you're not getting the response, because it's like, I could come in fucking 3 minutes and like, when am I gonna fuck again? Like it's pointless. But
the thing with the, we mentioned the fans. These fans today they got no sense. I don't know if you saw that video with Joey Janela doing some super kick with fire on his boots.
I was waiting for his whole fucking leg to go on fire.
Yeah, and he's sitting down trying to take off his boot. Meanwhile, his thighs getting burned.
I'm exactly. Like, man,
I can't. This nigga was getting well done like a fucking Popeye.
He sounded like me and shit. But, brother, thanks for chiming in. I said, shit, we went an hour more right now, man. Shit, yeah, it's always fun when we fucking get together, man.
Yeah, we definitely got to do next month our annual half a year midterm State of the Union of Wrestling. Because,
oh, we're going to do it on your show. We do it there.
Yeah, definitely. So we'll do it like the last time.
Let everybody all know where they can reach you at and what's going down the line for you.
Yeah, I got the Chokeslam Wrestling Report. You guys can follow me on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, all that. What I'm doing now is I'm doing my YouTube videos and I'm converting them. Instead of making two podcasts a week, I'm doing one podcast. I do the YouTube video. I turn it to an audio. So if you don't got time to watch it on the audio, the video, you can listen to the audio. So you can find me on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and you can listen to my audio podcast every fucking way. So I'm also on YouTube. Just subscribe to the channel, you know, and I want to give out a shout out to everybody who's supporting. And of course, my man, you know, I love you like you're my brother, bro. And thank you for all the support all these years, bro.
As always, man. Love you.
Three years already doing this shit. And what? The math at May 31st. It's my 30th anniversary.
Man, congratulations, man.
This crazy world of professional wrestling and the marks and the fucking people I got to deal with every day.
Yeah, love you more, man. And make sure that you guys check him out, man. Henry is always on top of this shit, man. He loves to call motherfuckers out on this bullshit
I don't give a fuck. You know what I'm saying? I breathe, sleep, wrestling, and you know, but... You know, some people, sometimes they need some lectures. So,
guys, when we come back, I'm going to have a conversation with my boy, JV Lewis from St. Louis. We're going to be sitting there talking about what's going on with this Sasha and Naomi situation and, of course, what's going on in women's wrestling. He is my aficionado of the women's wrestling and its culture. So, guys, don't go anywhere. Stick around. We'll return. Check you guys in a sec. And, Henry, thanks again. Bye for everything.
No problem, man. Thanks a lot for having me.
Later. Cut an ID to say this is... Just like you did, the heartbreak chick, Tiffany Ann, and you're listening to Turnbuckle Tabloid.
Okay. This is Tiffany Ann, a.k.a. the EVP of Giggles and the Heartbreak Chick, and you're listening to the Turnbuckle Tabloid.
Of course, I have to check in with my boy. It's usually it's a monthly segment for us, but it's been a couple more than that because there's been so much going on and trying to pipe in as much info as I can. But our boy JV Lewis from St. Louis is checking in with us this week, and I had to get him on because this is his area of expertise. My guy is sitting in, he is the ladies aficionado of wrestling. But also, I know how much passion he loves his Sasha Banks and his Naomis and such. And this past week we spoke about the walkout, which was a big thing. And what was your first thoughts when you heard this happen?
Okay, I was like, I know you're not on Twitter, so basically I was just watching like Raw as usual, and I just started seeing people talking about it on the timeline, and I'm like, because you know, like, it's a lot of times I watch Raw, and I'm not really like, I'm just watching, I'm not really listening, you know, to the commentary and people talking, depending on who it is.
Mm-hmm.
So I know Becky was saying that they left, and I'm like, okay. Then people was talking about it, and I'm like, oh, so something had happened. I'm like, oh, for real? So then you start seeing all the reports and everything, and it's like every which way. Then you start hearing like the reasons why and stuff like that. Then, you know, WWE puts out the statement, and I'm looking at the statement, and I'm like, they actually talked about it. And so I don't remember anything like this, like since, like, you know, where something happened and they address it like as though it's Stone Cold back in the day.
You know, I always think that it always happens when someone dies. Like, I've never seen them like really get out in front of it like they did with this one.
Yeah, and then it was like, I was looking at how they was like, they use a wrestling names and then use a real name. So now I'm not one of them guys who be like, oh, it's a work. I'm not that guy at all. You know what I'm saying? But something did seem odd about, you know what I'm saying, the statement, especially the like that they didn't want to work with certain people. And I'm like, I definitely was like suspect about that at all. But you know, the common theme is definitely like when they said it was over about the tag team championships, I definitely believe that. Because that was the thing for last time with Sasha. That is the common thing here, is like, you know, making these belts, you know what I'm saying, more than what it is.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So that's always the common thing. So now it's like, you know, they left, and then you heard like a guy, you know what I'm saying, who like knows, like who's real close in Naomi or whatever, put out their particular side of it. But I still want to hear them, hear what they got to say, you know. And we basically just hearing like one side, you know. And then I'm not a dirt sheet guy, and so I don't give none of these cats love, you know. The Meltzers, the Alvarezes, you know what I'm saying, like, I'm not a fan of none of them dudes. I not know how much you hate Meltzer.
Oh, definitely.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, so I don't, you know what I'm saying? So listening to them cats, you know what I'm saying, talk about it, I'm definitely got my nose crunched up like, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, they definitely don't, you know what I'm saying, on the shit list.
But you see,
know, they've made like, you see, go
for,
ahead, go ahead.
Yeah, yeah, for me it was more like opinionated, because it's more like, I'm not saying anything as, I'm taking it as facts. I'm saying a lot of the stuff as just what's been reported. And just throw it up in the air. And it's always bash the talent, whatever, right? And that's just the nature of the beast. It's done everywhere. We know what it's done in government, it's done fucking in everyday lifestyle. You gotta go with the fucking negative on somebody's first before you get the real story.
Mm-hmm.
But my whole thought about it first was, like I mentioned earlier, was how is it that we are making a statement about this before anyone even knows or even cares about this shit? Who even gave a fuck, like, or even knew about the six-pack challenge was going to happen?
Right.
So, like, what do you think was the meaning and the reasoning for WWE to do that?
I mean, they probably was shocked that they actually left. They like, oh shit, well, let's get ahead of this. Without doubt, they wanted to get ahead of it. And they, like I said, that's the whole thing. They wanted to get, well, pun intended, they wanted to control the narrative. You know what I'm saying? And that's what companies do. Whenever something go down with employees and stuff like that, that's the first thing they're going to do. Like, hey, they tripping. You know what I'm saying?
But WWE would never do that. Yeah, but they never would do that. Right. Like, if they walked out, I would have never known about it. It would have probably come up on the dirt the next night, you know.
They
could have no-sold it and been like, due to an injury or due to or even flight scheduling, Sasha and Naomi couldn't make it. They made it an issue to make this statement, and this is where I had said in the previous episode where I was like, they were assholes for that. There was like really no need for that. I gotta ask you. And a lot of, you know, I started looking at a lot of motherfuckers on social media, and I'm going, really, guys, this is where we're gonna take it to it. Do you looking at it as a race thing?
From the company, from the WWE standpoint, it's a lack of respect for women, no doubt.
Yeah.
I mean, I know you said that, and I agree with that 100%.
Right.
And it's just the fact that they still have to be black women, so that's going to be even more less respect.
Right.
I'm going to say it's a racial aspect from the fans' reaction standpoint, because these motherfuckers out here tripping. And we already know that Naomi is one of the most viciously attacked people racially. You know what I'm saying? Period. Like, her and Mustafa Ali are probably top two most attacked racially. And, so I already knew what it was going to be.
Why do you say that? How does that happen?
I mean, you know, that's like, for whatever reason, like, they always, you know what I'm saying, other people, they may just get it, whatever.
I get the Mustafa one. But why do you think Naomi is like the target?
I don't know. It just seemed like she's always been that one, you know what I'm saying, who's always targeted. And for a person,
well, maybe because she's more chocolate, she's more chocolate than the others.
Probably so.
So Bianca doesn't get the same kind of look that Naomi.
Like,
does.
I mean, like nothing even close. You know what I'm saying? Right. But like I said, you know, things, like I said, you know. Yeah, like I say, I mean, she's newer, you know what I'm saying? And then, like I say, Naomi's been around a long time.
Bianca's the shiny, toy.
Like 10-plus years in the game, you know what I'm saying? So, but it's just for whatever reason, she's always, you know what I'm saying, been a target, you know, like, she's hood, you know what I'm saying, ghetto, you know, you get that type of shit, and she ain't that at all, you know what I'm saying? But it's like, you just know what the backlash is going to be, you know, it always seems that, you know what I'm saying, when it's like, you know, one of us, you know, it's like people can't just give like, you know, well, I think this happened, whatever. It's always going to, and like I said, the IWC, it's a hate for black women in wrestling, you know what I'm saying? Just a vision, it's 100-point blank, and I challenge anybody on that shit, you know what I'm saying? But, and it's funny that You heard nothing from Naomi. No negative shit. You know what I'm saying? Never been in trouble. Right. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Nothing.
I don't even think I don't think she got hit with the shit fan with this either.
You know? Because I know because Sasha is getting like all of the, you know what I'm saying, all of the headlines.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And then you're hearing a lot of people saying, you know, that, man, you know what I'm saying? Like, this is out of character. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? For Naomi, like, and so now you're speculating, like, you have two sides of thought. You know what I'm saying? So people saying, oh man, Sasha just influencing her. You know what I'm saying? Like, nigga, don't be something wacky. Like, she ain't got her own damn mind or something. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, are y'all serious with that?
Naomi from
Florida, man. Naomi would whoop Sasha ass.
I don't even think it's that. I think it's more along the lines to where there's a loyalty in their friendship. And, you know, regardless of what it could be, it's like, you and I, you know, you my mans in them. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to go out with you. Mm-hmm. We, you know, you feel for something. I guys like, I fuck with you. I'm going to walk out the building and we go, you know, we're going to stand true. When I get to the crib, I'm like, fuck, what the fuck did I just do?
Hey, okay. A while back, What was that dude's name? When you had the man, who was it you had the interview with? You would always have interviews with him, and it was like a lot of cats was criticizing the interview. Teddy Hart.
Oh, okay. And what was that
dude's name? Like Nightwave or something?
Yeah, Nightwave. Yeah.
Now, you always said that you don't give a damn about people making fun of like the way you look.
Right.
But when he was making that stereotype shit about you,
I fucking lost it. Dude,
and like how you said, man, you know, we rolled out to kick it. Dude, I was pissed listening to that. I was like, yo, if we was together, we rolled up with that dude, both of us be going to jail.
Listen, I got phone calls from people that were outside. I had someone who was cool with me at the time and got me a call and was like, yo, where does that motherfucker live? Where can I get to him? And
that's what I'm saying, man. It's like the stuff with Naomi. It's like, if the dude didn't like the interview, whatever, fine. But he, motherfuckers got to take it that extra level that he didn't need to go.
You got
to
do the most.
Yeah, they always got to do that extra and stuff.
But
man,
I think with the whole Naomi look is that, like you said, she didn't have a history of being a rabble rouser. She, she's basically blood in, basically with the family and such. I think I think when the shit hit the fan, she didn't get hit with it as much as what Sasha's getting hit with, which we'll elaborate in a second with. But I still want to discuss about the whole WWE aspect, which is, I still think it's more of a misogyny thing than it is a racial thing. It just, you basically put sprinkles on it when them having to be black. But I think it's more of a misogyny thing because, although they are pushing a little bit more, because hell, on Raw, the women are getting the main events more.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that's you could probably blame due to lack of male booking right now for their storylines. You know, Brock isn't there. Mm-hmm. Roman is doing double duties and shit now. And
right. It's
healthy. It's a good thing for that to happen, to give the woman a spotlight. But yeah, I also think that you still have individuals in the back, John Laurinaitis, who still want to book women a certain way. We've heard stories about the whole Toni Storm shit, where they wanted to have her fucking, you know, Charlotte rip her clothes off and shit like that. Being the women's wrestler guy on the show, when do we start balancing out the fact to take the woman seriously and take them as fucking sexual objects? What are we doing here?
I mean, like I say, man, just had them go out there and like and wrestle, man. You know, I mean, it's like, it also plays into the whole, like, what Ember Moon was talking about. You know what I'm saying? Also, it's like that era, man, that Divas, you know what I'm saying? It's like they trying, like, you know, like I said, people say about John Laurinaitis, because I think a lot of this, also the Sasha Naomi stuff got a lot to do with him more than Vince. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Because this is the rare time that a lot of people are not saying anything about Vince. I think this is all. I think it's all John Laurinaitis
and Nick Khan is in that.
Like Vince off the hook, so he probably just hearing what they saying and then just going off them. But they the ringleaders in this BS right now. But as far as the women go, man, they just need to let them wrestle, get out of that old way of thinking, man.
Yeah, it's still this whole idea. Like I said, I stopped watching NXT like some time back, but yet you still get the clips and you know, the women are wrestling and ass cheeks are still somehow being shown. And look, you want to be a family friendly show, but yet you want to still sell sex appeal. You're being basically bipolar with your booking.
And don't think they know exactly what they're doing.
Of course.
With Nikita Lyons and Lash Legend, they know exactly what they're doing both of them.
You know
they know exactly what they're doing.
I said that's their Jade Cargill right now. That's their ticket right now. That's I've been saying it for the longest that, you know, women's wrestling is a novelty, regardless of what people believe in. It is a novelty, and it's unfortunate, but their pay per view didn't do well. It didn't sell. Mm-hmm. I could correlate it with, you know, the WNBA. If you want to watch balling, watch the WNBA. Women play fundamental ball. They play ball. Mm-hmm. But it's still one of those things to where as much as you can say, that, oh, we need equal pay. Well, blame the fans. The fans ain't coming to watch you play. it's keep it a buck. They're not watching you play. Tickets are still $10, front row. As much as the NBA players sit there and want to support, the fucking rafters are still free. I could sneak in the back of a fuck or just walk in during the fucking second quarter. But I kind of watch the game. But like, all right, I gotta go. Because they want to fill in the fucking the arena. Mm-hmm. It's unfortunate, but it's true. And blame the fan base. Don't blame.
I mean, you're right. Corporations. You look at the comments. You know, especially when you see in WNBA. You know, you see a WNBA topic trending or whatever. You know, they pretty much just clowning the sport. Even though some of them jigs, they could probably beat their ass in the hoop. You know what I'm saying?
Listen, I said, yo. Lower down the rim, maybe fucking 2 feet, and let them start dunking on each other. I bet you everybody start fucking loving the game now. let them start doing that shit. Let them start doing fast breaks. Change the game a little bit. Everybody be into this shit. But no, I mean, but the same as with wrestling. It's like, listen, women who know how to wrestle will watch. We'll watch. Mm-hmm. But if you know you're putting a woman out there just for fucking eye candy,
yeah,
we'll be like, okay, let me go check the scores quick, you know.
And the way they book plays a lot into that too.
Like these days, if you're watching women's wrestling, who's on your radar right now?
You know, like across the board, you know, for you know, I'm gonna watch a Thunder Rosa, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying, you know, Mercedes Martinez, you know, I'm gonna watch, you know, Bianca, Asha, Becky, you know, on the indies, I'm gonna watch, you know, Trish Adora, you know, Willow, Megan Bain, if she wasn't like injured, you know, like Queen Aminata. It's like, it's just so many, right. You know, because it's like, especially on the indies, because like, it ain't like that. I mean, it's storyline and stuff, but it's just pure, just straight, like, Russell, what you got? You know, let's go out here and like, you know what I'm saying? Like, let's tear it up.
Yeah, that's the thing that That I try to explain to guys that it with the women, they have to fight so much to get to where they're at, because you know the best compliment they can get is, hey, you wrestle like a dude, and it's mm-hmm. and that puts them over. But then there's also
do you like intergender matches? Hey, my boy, he can't stand them because so many of his favorites then got hurt in them type of matches. You know what I'm saying?
If you're gonna give me a mixed tag match, I would prefer the mixed tag where there's the moment of the match where the men and the women have to intersect, but it's not for mm-hmm. the long period of time to where you're going to try to fool me that the female is stronger than the man. It's not going to happen. I can't dispel that reality. That I can't.
Yeah.
Give me, mm-hmm. you give me like Jordynne Grace versus, I don't know, Cheeseburger. I'd be like, okay, that bro could throw him anywhere. I don't give a fuck. I'll get that.
Yeah.
But you give me Jordynne Grace versus Brian Cage, I'm like, fuck out of here. I don't want to hear this shit. And that's not going to work for me. No, I think the intergender match is just put in place because it's equal opportunity nonsense. That's just what it is to me. And it's, listen, do you want to see Steph Curry playing in WNBA?
Nah.
I mean, why? You might draw some eyes to it, though.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to see fucking Ja Morant playing at WNBA? You'll probably get, you know, 2 million, 3 million fucking viewers on the game, but he gonna put up 90. <It's> like, let's be for real.
Yeah.
Same thing with you want to dispel reality in wrestling, but and also at the same time, I was like, not for nothing, I would slap the shit out of
why?
I'm not gonna play. I'm not doing this. But you know, it's depending on the story, I'll take it. Depending on it, mm-hmm. But it has to be a one shot. I can't see it all the time. So when it comes to the how do you think WWE handled this whole situation? How are they handling it now?
That's a good question. So since they suspended indefinitely, you know, from what they said on SmackDown, it's like it's anybody's guess, you know, where this goes from here. Because like we don't, like I said, no, they suspended indefinitely. We don't even know how long that is. Mm. And then I've been seeing stuff talking about like, you know, their contracts might be up soon. So I don't know how true that is. So I have no idea. Like I say, one until we see them back on TV or whenever they decide to make a statement, you know, then we'll just go from there. Because at this in this could easily, after a while, like I say, I don't think this will work, but it could turn into one. And you'd be like, all right, well, let's take all this publicity, right. Let's take all this, and then let's go ahead and do something. You know what I'm saying? And we'll just go from there, man. Because,
but that's the way I wanted it to do, because I've always said everything could be turned into a work. You can.
Uh-huh.
You can make this into a work.
Yeah.
You can. I'm just more inclined with the fact that whoever was the one that and did the press releases during this time was mm-hmm. really fucking pissed off. They were really heated. I don't even mm-hmm. think I don't think the press releases got approval by Vince, because they were mm-hmm. using terminologies that Vince wouldn't even fucking use. And I think that,
I think the unprofessional line, yeah. I think that's what got everybody upset, because everybody started talking about like, yo, this, remember this, remember that, you know what I'm saying? Like you said earlier, all that stuff was like handled, you know what I'm saying? Like backstage, we wouldn't even know about it.
Right.
Unless, you know what I'm saying, the sheets or whatever, or we saw like a clip or something. And it's just funny how WWE always tell their talent, don't bring nothing to social media, keep it in-house. But they the ones who put the stuff on social media this time.
Yeah. And, you know, I think with them, they just embellished a little bit too much bullshit, which didn't really make any sense to put out there. I mean, there was somebody back there that was just scorned about being blown off the way that they were. Vince wouldn't mm-hmm. give a fuck, because at the end of the day, when all this shit was coming out, Vince was in Gorilla. And Vince has to deal with what the fuck is going on the show. Mm-hmm. Somebody went into Vince's ear and said, blah, 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 blah. And Vince said, really? All right, what are we going to do? All right, who's still back there? All right, go ahead. All right, cut this. And we'll just have Oscar versus Becky in the main event.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it. Somebody else said, I got this, Vince. We'll do it. We'll do something to. And Vince was like, whatever. he didn't care. He had to deal with the fucking show he was dealing with. Motherfucking mm-hmm. 1700 years old. It's like, what is he going to do? So
right.
I wanted to give the fair and imbalance, the fair and balance, look at, how it was handled, how this was done. Then I had to talk about their aspect. I had to talk about what Sasha and Naomi did. Mm-hmm. And guy, I mean, come on. There's other ways around to do this. We've already seen this. Their social media, the IWC has been talking about, well, you know, when Jeff left, nobody gave him shit. When Tony Storm mm-hmm. walked away, nobody gave him shit, gave her shit. And I'm like, no, they did. They did get heat. A lot of people gave him heat. The only thing with Jeff's situation was, well, you was fucked up because they assumed that he was high or drunk. Why not?
Yeah, that was the thing. Yeah, that's what everybody was like going off about at that time.
But why not? Uncle Rico, you know, is an alcoholic, and Uncle Rico comes to your fucking your birthday party, and Uncle Rico's been sitting there talking about, nah, I've been sober for 6 months. You're like, all right, cool, Uncle Rico, that's good to know. Then all of a sudden, Uncle Rico starts putting his head in the fucking refrigerator and banging it for 3 hours, and you're like, something wrong with Uncle Rico. What are you gonna fucking think? That motherfucker drunk,
right?
So then we go to Uncle Rico. I'm like, Uncle Rico, you drunk? Nah, why you think I'm drunk? Nah, you know what? I'm leaving. I'm just gonna walk away. So what thought are you gonna have about that? So when that happened with Jeff, to this day I say Jeff did that shit on purpose. He just didn't want to be there no more. That's that.
So that is what that was. That was his way of getting out.
I think that's just what it was. I think that he must have had like some kind of realization during the night that he was happening, that happened. It happened, and mind you, it happened during a live event. Didn't happen during a fucking live show with other people on the roster that's gonna get affected. It happened at a dark match where he said, you know what? This is where I can fucking take my bow and be out. I got my opportunity, took it, and just bounced. Because if you really wanted to sit there and prove to the higher ups, because they say, yo, we want to test you, get tested. I'm like, all right, go test me. Listen.
I mean, well, I've seen a lot, like, with this situation. It's like, I mean, like I said, I got no problem with what they did, but I think this is also fair, and I don't got no issue with this, is saying that they should have did whatever the match was supposed to be, then, you know what I'm saying, get them the belts and bounce out, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but my thing is like, okay, and then I'll go with the Tony Storm thing. Tony Storm said, you know what, y'all booking me to some bullshit, which I don't like this. And she dipped once again during a fucking live event. It was during the dark match. I'm out. I don't have to deal with this shit. You know what? I bought my own ticket. I'm out. You ain't got to pay for it. So she good to go. With them, I said, with what homeboy had posted, or homegirl, whoever it was that posted on Twitter, it was as though like you wanted to elevate another tag team. You wanted to elevate Doudrop and Nikki.
Yeah, and Nikki.
Yeah, and it's like, okay, fine. But then you found out what was going to be the end result, which was that one of you guys were going to have to put the other one over. And they didn't even know what the next storyline was going to be, which was come SmackDown, you were going to do it again, because that story was going to end up you guys being fucking the lead in a pay-per-view. So your thoughts were to elevate a tag team because they said, hey, I thought they were going to be part of the match, which they were. And that would have been the progression of them forming a tag team. But then you didn't like the outcome that was supposed to be. You didn't like what the progression was supposed to be, and you don't like the fact that you are going to be used as the tools to put over Bianca and Ronda. So you decide to walk, but the people you wanted to elevate didn't work that night because you walked away. So who got hurt there?
Yeah.
What's your thoughts about that?
Okay, yeah. I mean, also, they could have, since Sasha Naomi wasn't there, they could have still kept Doudrop and Nikki in the match. So they also could have added, to keep the six pack, they also could have added Carmella and Zelina, because we ain't seen Zelina in I don't know how long, you know? So, yeah, but I mean, that could have been something that they could have done. They could have just added, kept Doudrop and Nikki in the match.
But here's the problem with that.
They didn't.
But here's the problem. You're talking about Carmella and Zelina, right? mm-hmm. in comparison to Nikki Doudrop, who's already been getting praised from the back and the higher ups to possibly, mm-hmm. you know, do work with outside of that. Mm-hmm. Now you're taking a 6-pack challenge to possibly making a 4-pack or a fatal 4-way, right? They've been getting shit for their last matches for the past couple of weeks, but they're still trying to push the main event with women.
Yeah.
So do you think that they would sit there and trust that, you know, the agents, even the in the back would be like, you think we could put Zelina and Carmella and Doudrop and Nikki in a match? The agent was like, no, we're not going to do that. No, we can't do that. No.
Wow.
No. They know they can't trust it. So what did they do? They put Asuka and Becky in the main event. You know what it turned out to be? A really good fucking match.
Yeah.
Because they could trust them to do that. And that's the other shit that sucks, because you trust, they put the trust that fucking Naomi and Sasha could have elevated that shit. Now I ask you this, who's to blame here in between those two? Sasha or WWE management?
I'm going to go with, like I said, there's always debate on like how Sasha and them handle it. And this is a bigger debate on how WWE handle it. Because like I said, all of this could have been like handled backstage and we didn't have to know. And then the Sheets could have talked about it and we would have been like, okay, like anything else. Because the management made it a whole bigger deal.
Right.
You know, like I said, that you got like straight legit news outlets talking about it. You know, and it's like, I mean, I know WWE like press and stuff like that, but I don't know if this is what they wanted. All of this like mainstream, like media attention, like, man, I'm seeing some of the people who report on this. I'm like, damn, it's like that. I'm like, I never expected this to be like, I expected it to be a big deal within the wrestling community. I didn't expect it to be a big deal outside of it, like the way it is. I'm thinking it's just going to be straight within, you know, the confines of the community, you know, and fans. But it's like, man, this is all over the place now.
Did Sasha get too big for her britches?
I mean, I just think she's just like anybody else. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, she felt a certain way. She voiced her opinion and whatever, however it went down. And she was like, you know what? Shit, just like, you know, any other candidate job who bold enough to like, you know what? Fuck it, I'm out. You know, like, shit. This how it's going down? You know what I'm saying? Because, I mean, me, myself, you know, that's basically what I did at my previous job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I got to being a good soldier, whatever. I got a fucking better opportunity. And, shit, I ain't giving them no 2 weeks notice or nothing. I just, like, went to them, was like, hey, this was going on. Hey, I'm out. Simple as that. You know, tried to talk to the big wig. He ain't want to hear talk to me. So I talked to the second banana owner, and he perfectly understood it. You know, I told him exactly what I was thought, what was on my mind. You know, basically told, you know what I'm saying, his brother to go to hell. And you know what I'm saying? And like I said, you know, because he was pissed I didn't give him a 2-week notice. Like, that ain't how you supposed to handle business. I'm like, well, shit, I've been at this mug 14 years, majority of that, with no raise. While you bringing in your people, and these fools can't even keep a damn job, but you paying them more, so shit. I'm doing what you're doing.
But do you think that Sasha had a bigger hand in the game? Because Sasha's definitely making 7 figures in WWE. Naomi is nowhere near that. So, does she feel as though that she was really putting not only the other women in that circumstance, and even fucking her tag team partner who doesn't fucking, you know, a lot of people are going, well, Naomi be okay because, you know, she's married to Jimmy Uso. Jimmy's not in a good fucking, in a good life with the company either.
He got his own shit.
That's
you know what I'm saying? I mean, like I said, because like he's more like, I mean, he would be like I said, because I know people would be like, is what she did gonna fall back on him? I'm like, no, because his rap sheet is 10 times longer than hers, so he got to worry about his own stuff. Right. Because if they asked him, like, it's like how you see it on the show, it was like, hey man, what's up with your girl? And he's probably like,
she tripping. Talk
to her, because he already knows. He already knows that he don't want that conversation. Exactly.
You got to talk to her. That shit ain't got nothing to do with me, man.
Right. He don't want that conversation at home, because she's one who's probably running that relationship anyway.
I can only imagine he's sitting there going, like, I can't believe that. He's just sitting doing that. Right. That's crazy. Yo,
exactly, because he already know. Like,
he's like, work. They did what? Like,
right. Because you already know he heard it many times. He didn't mess up, but when you a person like, you know, like Sasha, and you a person who, like you said, who made the money she's making, you know what I'm saying? Like, she's like her, Roman, you know what I'm saying? Charlotte, they like the top dogs now, you know what I'm saying? So of course you're gonna like use stuff, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? You think you're gonna do your stuff like however you see fit. He's like, hey, I'm one of the biggest players here.
I can only imagine fucking he over there listening to Naomi. He's like, yeah, and they said this and that. We dropped the belt and walked out. He's like, whoa, you did that? That's crazy. Yo, that's what. Wait, hold on, I gotta take this call. Hello, Roman. Hold on, I gotta take it. She tripping, dog.
She bring that Florida out. He don't want them problems.
She tripping, dog. Like, she just wilding.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And then at the same time, it's like, yo, that's some G shit right there. You know, I'm like, hell, I wouldn't even do that. You know what I'm saying? Like, damn, I respect the hell out of that.
So there was talks, like we mentioned earlier, that their contracts is expiring. Do you mm-hmm. think there's some measure to that? And there was also talks about that they weren't happy, that Sasha wasn't happy about the fact that Ronda got the main event at Mania. Do you think you think there's some truth to that?
As far as the Ronda aspect, I don't know, because I mean, they said kind of the same thing about Ronda was mad about she wouldn't get like the spot at Mania, and she denied that. So as far as that go, you know what I'm saying? I don't think so. I mean, like I say, that's all I really want to know what the contract situation is. I mean, I don't see them like going nowhere. Mm. You know, I wouldn't think, because you know, it's like all these AEW fans, they feeling themselves right now. They like, they already got their little WWE 2K My Rise booking together and everything. Like, yeah, man, you know, we got Sasha winning the women's championship. We got Naomi winning the TBS championship. I'm like, yo, we not even nowhere near anything like that. These cats are already wilding out. What is wrong with y'all, dude? I mean, these cats got all type of storylines. Like, yeah, we gonna have Sasha and Naomi, you know, bring the tag belts like a lingerie, burn them up, then do some Hall and Nash, NWO, and then we'll get somebody else to be the Hogan. I'm like, yo, man, y'all got too much time on your hands with these bookings, man, and these theories, man.
I wish. I wish. I just heard that, and I was like, I'm kind of excited. I would have liked to have done some shit like that.
Man, it's just insane, because it's like AEW fans are taking this chance to, like, yeah, we wouldn't treat our talent like that. You know, they up here on some Suge Knight, like, yeah, you tired of your creative all up in the videos. You know what I'm saying? Come over here to AEW, you know. I'm like, stop it, man.
You tired of creator burying you in your matches.
Right,
you cutting know, your you promos.
Right. Yeah, cutting your promos. You know, we heard in WWE, y'all get treated like boot camp. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just the same, man. It's like, it's one of those things, like, man, I won't believe anything like that until, it's like, because remember, what they're doing with them right now is basically all of the stuff they was doing with Bray Wyatt, and that dude ain't nowhere near over there. You know,
he don't even care about nothing. Like, he's good.
Right.
Man,
he's just chilling.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? With a family, but it's like, you know what I'm saying? Like, until it's something like concrete, you know what I'm saying, about their contract situation, man, I don't see them going nowhere. It's just all about, you know, when they like meet with WWE officials and they talk or whatever, whatever, and then we'll see what goes from there. Like I say, until then, it's like it's all speculation, but I don't see them going anywhere.
Now, I had said on the episode where I was like, if Sasha is the instigator, which, you know, all signs point to that way because she made it clear when she did that on her Evil episode on Peacock, and it was told that, you know, she, you know, manipulated a way to move away from something she wasn't happy with the company, and they brought her back and sit and she does have somewhat of a standing with the company. Mm-hmm. Before I go into my thoughts of what should happen, does Sasha need WWE or does WWE need Sasha?
That's a good question. That is a good question. I think they both need each other, you know? Because like I said, to me, Sasha is one of the, you know, top, you know what I'm saying, top five people in the company, hands down. You know, and obviously, and even if she did leave, you know, because obviously, you know, Hollywood looking at it and stuff like that, you know, like I say, she'll be just fine. But I think they both need each other. You know, because like I said, because we've seen people who, you know what I'm saying, like, I mean, even though, like, they, like, you know, like the Stacey Keebles and people like that, you know, who thought they was, like, you know, who they clearly thought they was bigger than what they was, you know, and they dipset, and it was like, it just wasn't what they was expected, you know what I'm saying, when they went to do other stuff. I mean, I think Sasha is completely different, but and as far as, like, I mean, she loves wrestling. I don't see her just straight up just like just dipping and not being involved in some type of way, and I just see her completely as a WWE person.
And you know what she's reminding me, and I just thought about it too, who, like you mentioned, she loves wrestling. And is talented and has the ability to expand herself and really walked away from the company and can probably walk away from wrestling. She reminds me of AJ Lee.
That's a good person.
That she, you know, she says, you know, it is what it is. And I'll go out the way I go out. And if I go back into wrestling, I go in. But right now, you know, Hollywood is calling. I got an album that I can drop, whatever. Like, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, I got a look. And I'll be a joker at fucking at All Out or some shit. Like, it doesn't even. Man, who the fuck knows?
If she show up there, yo, that'd be crazy.
I'm just like, with me, when it comes to that, it's. They've done dropped the ball with fucking a lot of the women that's gotten there. And I'll lead into that, which is, what's your thoughts about what's happening with the AEW women? And are they progressing? Are they mediocre? What's happening there?
It's like I said, I haven't been watching, you know, I'm still on a Fuck You Tony Khan, but it's so many people I like over there. So my issue is, it's him only, not the company. Well, a couple of them are steppers and fetchers, but that's a whole other thing. Yeah. You know, so you know how I feel about them cats. But as far as the women go, like I say, man, you know, Thunder Rosa, Serena, I mean, I know she got some issues right now. She's not happy. Like I say, Tony, you know what I'm saying? And then, you know, of course, you know what I'm saying, you know what I'm saying? You know, Jay, Kiara, you know what I'm saying? Red Velvet, you know.
What do you think about that whole stable shit? That whole baddies thing?
That's, I mean, like, I think it's cool. I'm wondering, like, are they going to add, like, some more belts? Because they got so many damn women over there. You know, like, I mean, can we get like, I mean, obviously they got a, like a mid-card belt, but it's like, are they going to eventually add like a tag team belt? Because it would give so much women more of the women to do and to keep them in storylines.
Yeah, I don't mind. Like, I'm one of those that, I've always said, like, I don't give a fuck. Throw as much belts as you can.
I'm the same way because I'm not a fan of this unification stuff.
Yeah, I throw as much as you can. Let everybody, if you don't have the ability to write stories that's gripping to the audience, then let the fan base see that you're gonna have them chase something. I mean, we've seen it in NWA, saw them in AWA, we saw it in WCW years ago before it became the big thing. They had so many belts. Motherfuckers had the junior toilet holder fucking belt. They didn't. Everybody was chasing something. So it was fine.
It was always a U.S. version. It was a TV US title. Tag team.
The Undisputed fucking
tag team.
Yeah, it didn't matter. Something.
I love that, man. I love having all them belts, man, because when you got so many, this thing is like, what are people going to fight for? It's like, you winning a whole bunch of matches, but you can't even get a title shot. You know what I'm saying?
You got 120 people on your roster with five belts. What the fuck are you going to do with that? What are you going to do with it?
Exactly.
Shit.
They need to add some more, but it's always the same old thing with AEW, you know, they got the talent, but it's like it's the structure,
right?
You know what I'm saying? And it's like they got. I don't know, like who actually is running it now? But like, can we just get maybe like a couple of people, and that's it? Nobody else, you know, touch it. Let's just keep it with these people, and then you know what I'm saying? Like let's go. Because look how long it took. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, even though you still got issues with WWE, like, you know, the way they do the women, but at least, you know, they can put some great stuff together when they do it right.
Right.
And they don't get in their own way. It's just, they seem like that there's too many people, you know what I'm saying, like all over the place, you know what I'm saying? And they don't have no consistency.
Yeah. I think with the talent that they have women wise, it's like I said, it's no different than WWE. Yeah. You have your power women there. You have Thunder, you have Thunder Rosa, you have, like you said, Serena Deeb, you have Mercedes, if you want to throw Toni Storm in there, Ruby Soho, you have women there that can work. You have Britt, you have those women that can work, but yet you're doing nothing with it. They're all, even their women's tournament was just blasé. It just was like, all right. It's filler until I could finish watching Boston and fucking Miami. I mean, honestly, I don't understand why we're having such headaches there with that division. Is there anybody on your spectrum right now that nobody knows about that should be getting more play on the possibly getting scouted for the big leagues that's in the indies right now? Come on, the women wise.
Yeah, I know she was on AEW recently. Like I say, man, Trisha Dora have been definitely like top, you know what I'm saying, three to me, like, you know what I'm saying, out there, you know what I'm saying? Like, she's been putting in that work, like, for a nice little minute. It's like, you know, like to see like a big company, you know what I'm saying? Like give her a shot. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, you know, I'm a big fan of, you know, because I've been watching this, like, WWR Plus with my homeboy, you know, and, you know, they got, like, some, like, you know, nice, like, up-and-comers, you know, like, Willow is a big thing. Like, she's starting to become a big thing over there. Yeah, man, it's just, like, and then you want to see so many people like just like spread out more, not just be in a little local area. So more people can get some, you know, get some eyes on them. And then, like, you know, we need to get Shimmer back and running again.
Yeah.
You know, because that's where a lot of, you know, because I know they had a show like last year, you know, and I don't know what's going on, because I know your boy Prazak, who do the Shimmer, he got his, you know, he doing his thing with MLW and trying to do something with the women over there. So that may be his sole focus right now. You know, and obviously, you know, it's great to see Mia back out there, you know, back wrestling, you know, and you know, Impact. Glad to see that.
There's one that, as a matter of fact, I'm messaging on right now is JC Storm. You will like her.
Oh, you know what? I saw, matter of fact, she was on, like, the recent WWR Plus show, too.
Yeah, she's a little pack of dynamite.
Yeah, and another one, Tiara Jane.
Mm.
Matter of fact, she was one of the people that was on the this is like a couple of months ago. She was one of the people that was on the Kiss Cam with the Albertos.
Oh, with everybody. Okay, yeah, she was the plant. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, you were like JC. She smells terrific. She's awesome. brother, how's everything going on your end with the social media and such? How's everything happening over there?
Oh man, yo man, things been cool, man. That was like a little part that I was, well, it was just like just some other stuff like, you know, going on. So like I'm starting to like post more videos now. I'm definitely gonna like I say, especially like the end of playoffs pretty much been having my like full attention. So I'm been getting behind on stuff, so I definitely want to start putting more videos. I definitely want to get back into gaming more. You know, that'll definitely come like once the playoffs are over with, and a lot of the shows I watch is ending, so I have a lot more time for that. But yeah, man, I'm still enjoying it, still liking it. You know, I definitely got some. You know, I did a couple of videos earlier that I got to post. You know, little trailers and stuff like that. So it's a lot of stuff coming.
Oh man, and then you had a celebration. You had a graduation, right?
Yeah, man, you know what I'm saying? My son, he done, man. He done with high school. and he couldn't be happier. He had to be missing, man.
He's like, whoa, I ain't gotta do shit no more. That's it. And it's like, wait a minute, no, there's other parts of life? Fuck!
Right. Yeah, I know he glad he ain't gotta get up at 3 a.m. with me, like on the weeks he with me, and I gotta drop him off.
It's like, fuck, what are you talking about? You're gonna start working with me soon. What are you talking about?
Right. I'm like, you know, most people, you know, they start working, they starting at 7, you know, I got to be at 5, so he getting a super, super jump on getting up at 3. He like, man, it's like, man, this is what it's going to be like. I'm like, yeah.
This is what we call.
You get a job with overtime.
This is what we call reality. This is mm-hmm. what reality is.
Yeah, so I tell, you know, talk to him like, man, you know. I mean, but see, the thing with him, though, is like, He had a mentality that he's been wanting to work, you know, for the longest. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
that's been the focus of his for a while.
Yeah.
And you know, like I said, when he was like, obviously, you know, with COVID and everything, that put a like damp on stuff. But it's like, yeah, that's still what he wants to do. You know, so he already like, you know, what I'm saying, like, shoot, like, what's out there where I want to apply it.
Oh, believe me, there's gonna be a lot of opportunities soon. I was just telling one of my peoples, one of my patients. I was like, listen, the most deadliest thing that our peoples have to use as weapons right now is our minds and our hands, because right now that's where the fucking money's at. That's where we gonna get our money at, man.
So, yeah, that's what I'm saying. He ain't gonna have like no shortage of options, because there's a lot of people out there who
lazy as shit, don't want to work.
Man,
they like the government paying them off. But my brother, thanks mm-hmm. for as always checking in, man, and let everybody know where they can get you at and what's going on and what's happening.
Yeah, man, you know, you can follow me, JLewis77 on Instagram, Twitter, you know, the Twitch gaming channel, JLewis. Same thing with the YouTube, JLewis. Just check out the reaction videos, you know, gaming videos, and just, you know, just random, you know what I'm saying, foolishness in videos. So check me out there.
And I'm not mad because somebody's playing Pac-Man in the back, so we good.
Oh, yeah, that's my girl playing Miss Pac-Man. That's
of course. Favorite game. What's the better one, Pac-Man or Miss Pac-Man?
I mean, ain't they basically the same?
Nah, Miss Pac-Man, there's a little something to her, though. There's a little something. We used to have it at my job. We used to have the Miss Pac-Man machine, and dudes will go hard to the paint with the Miss Pac-Man, though, man.
What's better, Miss Pac-Man or Pac-Man? Yeah, she said Miss Pac-Man.
Exactly. There was something about Miss Pac-Man that made it better. All right, my brother, love you, man, and thanks again for checking in, man. And as always, man, we'll check in and see what's piping and down.
All right, no doubt, man. You know, it's always love, man. You know, I'll always be checking you out, man. Anytime you need me, I'm here.
Thank you, sir. Much, much more to come. You know what? No, it's not, because it's the end of the episode. See you guys later, and my bro, stay safe. Laters.
You too, man. Peace.
Turnbuckle Tabloid.
3, 2, 1.
tabloid.